I need a soapbox. Can you hear me? Might need to bring these down a little bit. I'll write my thought on the board. The Lord gave to me. I'm running out of space. Let me back up a bit. As you can tell, I'm not good at writing on the board. Stripes. It's got an E, doesn't it? E-S. Stripes. We are healed. By his stripes we are healed. The Lord really brought this to me in a very special way this week. By his stripes we are healed. And my theme passage of verse is very familiar. It's in Isaiah, the 54th chapter. 53rd chapter, I'm sorry. And we're familiar with this passage, but I'd like to read it again to remind us of what Jesus came to do. And this is a prophecy about Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. It was prophesied several hundred years before Jesus came. And the beauty of this is that Jesus, when he came and lived upon this earth, fulfilled this prophecy. But in Isaiah 53 and 4 it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And then Peter repeated this, referred to it, in 1 Peter, the second chapter, and the 24th verse. Peter talking about Jesus. Let's start maybe with the 23rd verse. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." This is talking about Jesus. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." So he repeated in the way of present tense. Isaiah was doing it as in coming. We are healed. And with his stripes we are healed. It's coming. We are healed. We are healed. But when Peter talked about it, he said, "Whose stripes ye were healed." Ye were healed. Meaning that Jesus, when he died on the tree and shed his blood, it was through the stripes on his back, it was through the shedding of his blood, that he brought healing. And he brought healing to many areas of our life. He didn't just come to heal the body, which he did, and we'll talk about that. I was thinking about the different ways Jesus healed the body when he was here on this earth, and we know his power is just the same today. Think about the woman, Mark 5 and 29, the woman who had an issue of blood, and Jesus was in a crowd of people, and there were people all about him pressing around him. But whenever that woman touched him through faith, she touched the hem of his garment, and she believed that he was going to heal her. Jesus felt that virtue go out of him, and he knew that someone had been healed. And when he asked, "Who touched me?" his disciples said, "Well, there's people all about you pressing in on you. Why do you ask that?" Because, you know, there were people at his elbows and on by his back and in front. But he knew that somebody had touched him that needed a special healing. And when he asked that, the woman who had been afflicted for 12 years, this is Mark, the 5th chapter, I'm just telling the story, 25th verse down through here. This woman came to Jesus and knelt down, and she admitted what had happened, what she had done, that she had been afflicted, and she felt the healing virtue of Jesus go through her body and heal her. And Jesus told her in the 34th verse of this chapter, he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." He healed her completely through and through. She had been hurt by doctors, it said before that. She had suffered many things of physicians through that time, and she had spent a lot of money. And this is an illustration, perhaps more than ever, of our times today, where people are, as we all know, concerned about the last recent plague that's come to our country of COVID. And people are concerned. And it's something that has caused concern in its way because it is a sickness. But, you know, we have the answer to it. We know that Jesus heals. And we know that Jesus can also keep us from getting sick. We know that because of our faith in him and what he's done for us in the past. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that he has not only healing power, but he has keeping power. And he can keep us well. And I want to testify to that briefly, and it's only by the grace of God. The type of work that I do is caregiving in elder people's homes. I've been concerned, and I still have a concern or a prayer about this, but so far the Lord's worked it out that I've not had pressure put on me to take the vaccine. And so I'm really been grateful for that, and the Lord has also kept me well. And I know he's able to do that. It's not anything of our own. It's, you know, we try to eat right and do things, be clean, but I know it's God's grace, and I know it's him that has kept us. And I thank the Lord for that. It's by his stripes. It's by the blood that he shed on the cross that we can claim healing. And I think whenever we pray for the Lord to heal, I know when I pray for someone that's not well and what they need to be healed, it's important to remind the Lord that it was his stripes that were shed, the stripes that were put upon his back, the blood that was shed for our healing that we're claiming healing through. And it's not of our own self. It's not of our own good deeds that we want to live right. We want to please the Lord. But it's because he cared for us and he died on the cross that we might be healed. And I thank the Lord for that so much this afternoon and how that he watches over us. In Mark, the second chapter, this is a very familiar passage too. It's something that I've used in my past times and I've referred to it before. This is where the man that was sick with the palsy was let down through the ceiling. Remember the story? He had friends and they wanted to get their loved one, their friend that had palsy, down to Jesus, but the house was so crowded and full of people they didn't have a way of getting in through the door. So they let him down. They took some things off the roof, tiles off the roof, and they let this man down through the ceiling to Jesus so that he could touch him. And when Jesus spoke to this man in the 5th verse, this is Mark 2 and 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And this caused quite a stir among the Pharisees and those that were standing around about. They said, "How can he forgive sins? He can't do that. Only God can do that." And they were bickering about that, and Jesus knew what they were saying. And the 8th verse, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he saith to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." They were amazed. Jesus not only has the power to heal the body, but he also has power to heal the soul. And that is one of the greatest miracles there is to see a person become a new creature in Christ and forsake the old and become new in Jesus. I was thinking about how in our time today, and, you know, with the situations that we're dealing with, we think we're really having some bad days, and we are. But, you know, people of the past have had bad times, too. When you look into history and you read some of the accounts of history, you're going to find every generation and every group of people has had their challenges to deal with. You think about how the ones of the revolutionary time, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and some of them, the hard times that they faced and the battles that they went through of their time, their country, our country at that time was just beginning and it was new and upstarting. They had challenges of their time and they rose to the occasion. They had sicknesses. They had things to deal with that were hard on them, but God gave them grace and he brought them through. And they were able to preserve their way of life and to live for God until the end. And I think of even more recent, some of our forefathers. I was reading in the Eck family book just recently because of Aunt Juanita passing and on. I was looking at it, and I got to realizing the hardships that they went through. I found that great-grandma Ida Becker Davis, she had 8 children that passed away. If I counted right, she had 8 children that died before they were, I think Clifford was 13. But some of them died in infancy and also as little toddlers. 1 year, her twin girl that was 2.5 or 3, Rutha, she fell and hurt herself, I believe with a sucker stick is what I always heard, and bled to death. In September of 24, I believe it was, of 1924 in September. And in that same year, on December the 24th, she lost her baby that was born in June. She lost 2 children in about, 4 months? That was hard on her. That was hard.
It was 3
months to the day. Was it? Okay, you can correct me. Little Wilbur died, yes.
Actually, 6 children died.
Was it 6? Okay.
It was 17.
Okay, thank you. I just know I was looking in the book and I thought, I mean, she went through a lot of sorrow. And there's others that had that type of sorrow. You know, things happened in their life and then they told about the grasshoppers coming in. They came in and settled out here in Cherokee Strip, the family did, and they had put in their wheat and got their crops up to a good size. And then they saw a dark cloud coming, and it was grasshoppers, and ate everything green, is what they said. Just cleaned them out. And that was their way of living. That was their livelihood. It was their food for the table. That was hard. Those people suffered through things. And yet, they held on to the Lord, and God healed their hearts. God healed their needs, helped them with their needs. He was there for them. Because God is a God that restores, and he wants to repair. He likes to mend together things. There's a scripture that Darlene used to say a lot whenever, after Rodney had passed away. It's Psalms 147:3. And she memorized that scripture and said it a lot. I could say it from memory, but it says, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Isn't that a perfect picture of Jesus? He heals broken hearts. He heals the wounded. And if we let him do it, he'll help us in times of need. Whenever our hearts are broken, sometimes his way of answering a problem, a prayer request for someone that's afflicted, is to take them to heaven. And that in its way is God's way of healing. They're not suffering anymore. Think of my Aunt Juanita just recently. The easiest way for me to deal with that grief is to know that she's not suffering anymore. She's not in pain. Sometimes she would call me in the night and she'd say, "I'm hurting really bad. And I'd say, what's wrong? And she would say, tell me if it was her heart, if it was, sometimes it was a leg. At the last, she was having trouble with the leg. And she would tell me, pray for me. And we'd pray on the phone and we'd talk. Sometimes I'd come to her house in the middle of the night. Sometimes Jennifer went to her house in the middle of the night. And we would pray with her and work with her. And the Lord would come to our rescue. A lot of time, about 4:30, 5 in the morning, she'd start feeling better. The Lord had given us an answer to prayer, and she'd start to relax and be able to lay in her chair and doze off. One time she called me. She was hurting real bad, and she said it was her left leg. She said it's really, really hurting. She said it feels like it's just going to fall off. Anyway, she was having trouble. She said it's numb, and it's throbbing, and she couldn't get relief. So I said, all right, let's just talk, and we'll talk it off. We'll just talk your leg off. And we did. We prayed, and then we talked about old times, and we talked about the Lord and things. And the Lord answered prayer, and after a while she said it's feeling better. And the Lord is a present help in time of need like that, isn't he? He heals our bodies. He heals us whenever we are emotionally distraught. There's times when we are people of emotion, and we can have emotions that are very strong. Perhaps it's the emotion of anxiety, fear, concern. Those are emotions that are real. Not long ago, I was driving down Broadway. Darlene and I, we were in the car, and it was just a regular drive down Broadway, and I was in the middle lane. There was three lanes in that particular section of Broadway. I just turned on from Britain. Anyway, coming down, and it was three lanes, and I was in the middle lane. And all of a sudden, a pickup in front, it was on my right side. I saw him, well, first he was in the middle lane, but I saw him swerve over into the right lane, and he hit another car. And that black pickup, when he hit that car, I saw the bumper of the car fly up in the air. And all I had time to do was say, Lord, have mercy. And that truck was right in front of me. And I'm traveling, probably about 50 miles an hour down that, 50, 55. And that truck, I didn't even slam on my brakes. I slowed down. He spun around and spun, and he could have come right at me. And I kept asking the Lord, please have mercy. Instead, he hit the center concrete middle, and that's what stopped his truck. And I stopped because of the debris, the bumpers and the glass and the road. I stopped just in time before I ran into it. And I started praying, and I saw cars behind me coming, and they started stopping. But it happened so fast. It happened so fast. And that was fear. That was a fear. And it shook me up. And the other car beside me right here, they stopped. It was a green, lime green car. And we just stopped there a minute. And then somebody up a ways had pulled over on the shoulder, and it was a couple of men. They got out of their truck and came running. And the man in the truck that had had the accident, he was okay, I guess. He came out of the truck. He got out of the truck, and he was, like, shaking and all. And, you know, I thought that happened so fast. But things like that, they bring about an emotional fear. And we had planned to go shopping, but I told Darlene, that was the second accident. There'd been an accident on our corner that morning. I had heard it happen. We were still in the house when that accident happened. Then this accident happened. And then there was somebody just about hit another person. I said, Darlene, we're going home. We were going to go shopping. But it brought about what? A fear. Those things are real. We're emotional. We can feel these fears when we hear things sometimes, rumors of war and war and things taking place in our country. It brings about a certain amount, a level of fear and sometimes anxiousness, anxiety, things that happen. But you know, the Lord can heal those emotions too. He can come in. I've had him do that to me. He'll just come in like a flood and just calm the nerves down. I've had times, and perhaps you have too in your life, where I was concerned about a loved one that was not doing well, and I didn't know where she was. And I laid on my bed. I remember laying on the bed, and I was so bad that I was jerking. I could not calm my body down. And I began to tell the Lord, calm me down, Lord. And he said, you've got to cast your cares on me. You have to give me your fears. I can't heal you. I can't help you until you let me. We have to let him help us. We can't just hang on to it and say, you know, but it's so terrible. It's so awful. It's so bad. Yes, it is. There's things that are bad. There's things that are awful. There's things that we don't have control about. But if we give it to the Lord and cast it on him like he tells us to, he can help us with it. And so that's the way it was. I started saying, okay, Lord, calm my legs. Calm my legs. Calm my, you know, and I started going through, calm my arms. Calm my body. Just release my, help my mind to release and let go. Just release and let go. Just like letting go of bubbles. You know, you see bubbles shooting out of a bubble machine. Just release these pressures, release them. Because we have to survive. We've got to live. And we can't carry these burdens alone. And the Lord, when we release and give to him, we can feel his healing coming in, calming us down. Then we can sleep. We can sleep at night. And we can know that God's taking care of things. Because if we're in a situation that's got some demands to it, and we ourselves have no control over our emotions, and we're not healed ourselves, or we're not calm in ourselves, how can we help someone that's needing us? We have to be taking care of ourselves. And I have found that it's important for us to be in the grace of God and to let him heal us when we need it so we can minister to other people. We can't help other people until we are well. The work that I do as caregiver, the other night I was with a lady, and she's not doing well. In fact, she's probably going to pass away any time. And her husband said to me, he goes, don't go to sleep. It was through the night. I was taking care of it through the night. And he said, we don't know. He didn't really say we don't know how much time Billy has, but he just let me know. He did not want to come and check and see that I was napping. And I didn't want to be napping. So I would get up. When I felt I was dozing a little, I'd get up out of the chair and walk around her bed and go check on her to make sure she was still breathing, to make sure she was still okay. But because of the demand of that, I had to get some rest other times myself. So we have to have time to take care of ourselves and seek healing for ourselves when we feel we need it so we can care for other people. Because there's so many people that need help out there. And if we as Christians are distraught, or we have our times, that if we're constantly overweighted with our burdens, we're not able to help carry and help someone else with theirs. And so I found it's very important to come to the Lord for healing, and he has it in his stripes. He's got it there for us. He said he will heal us. He will heal us in our mind. Isaiah 26. When our mind is stayed on him. Isaiah 26. And find it here. 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It's hard sometimes to put our mind into the Lord's way because of the things that we have going around about, and then we have work to do. And I know that's true. I know that myself. But I like to turn my thoughts back in the evening to the Lord. Lord, how has my day been before you? Lord, was there something I could have done different? Lord, could I have said a soft word or spoke some kind of encouragement to somebody today that I missed? Or the Lord will sometimes tell me, I appreciated what you did. You were faithful here. And those are times when we can put our mind to rest and be in perfect peace. I've done what I can. I've done what the Lord's wanted me to do for today. And I can't do anything more. That's what he called me to do, and I did it. Or if he says you could have done something better, Lord, help me tomorrow to do it better. Do something that I can do better. That's all we can do, is to serve the Lord in our capacity, what he gives us each day to do. There's also a scripture in Ephesians 4 and 23 that talks about in the spirit of your mind. That's Ephesians, the fourth chapter. That's a good chapter. Ephesians 4 and 23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He's telling us there, renew your mind, the spirit of your mind, and keep your mind like Christ. Let him heal the broken heart. Let him heal whenever you're grieved. Let him heal your emotions. And, of course, to the body. The body is his. Psalms 41 and 4 has a very good passage here. I said, this is 41 and 4, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemies doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. This is David talking about how his enemies were wanting to defeat him. You know, we have a foe today that is trying his best to wear us out, and to defeat us, and to make us feel so weary in our soul, so tired of the battle of life, so tired of the things that we have to deal with from day to day, that the devil wants to wear us down and make us feel that we're defeated. There's just no use in trying anymore. There's no use in getting up in the morning anymore and going to work, or there's no use in witnessing to this person or being a neighbor to that one, or there's no use in helping in this situation. There's no use in praying for that one. And that's the work of the devil, to try to wear us down and make us feel defeated in our spirit. But David said here that the enemy will not triumph over us, and he won't. If we put our trust in the Lord, if we work for him, we do what he asks us to do from day to day, we will conquer. We will be victorious, not only day by day, but we will at the end. When it comes our time to face Jesus, to have him call us home, we will be victorious if we stay true to him and what he calls us to do. Psalms 103 is a psalm I like really well because it tells about how the Lord heals in every way. A short little psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that by thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So the Lord is one that heals us in all manner of sickness, not just physical, but spiritual, emotional. And the Lord heals us also when our feelings are hurt. Someone has said things like David had just said there, you know, there's people that will talk evil and say things that hurt and crush. Maybe they didn't mean it, and maybe they did. But the Lord is able to heal also those that have hurt, wounded spirits, that's been crushed. That's one of the ways the enemy works the hardest to divide people, is by misunderstandings and by hurt feelings and making people feel, a person feel, well, it's kind of like the old song says, nobody likes me, everybody hates me. But you can get down under when things are said, especially if they're not true. And it can make you feel unappreciated. Why keep going? Why do good? But the Lord is able to heal even those wounded spirits. And he's able to lift up and restore. And I thank the Lord for that. He heals to the utmost part. He's able to heal the land that we live in. He's able to heal the country when people humble themselves. That's in 1 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people who are called by name will humble themselves, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. The Lord is able to do that also. There's healing and restoration in Jesus. That's his business. That's what he came to do, was to restore on this earth for today. But tomorrow, when he has come in his glory and he takes home his people and this earth is brought to destruction, then Jesus will be the judge. And he will be the one then that we will stand before, and he will say, you did well, or if you did not. It will be up to Jesus. So we want to come before him now and let him heal and help us. I was looking here in my notes in the back, and there's a lot of things that Jesus healed. And I found it quite interesting, because in the scriptures, these are called just healings of devil possession or something. But Jesus healed of a lot of things. In our world today, we have a lot of mental illness. And I think, I don't know if I've seen recently the statistics on it, but I would say it affects about every family in our nation somewhere. And it was there in the time of Christ. A mental illness is a very sad illness that's often very much misunderstood. And I've noticed in the scriptures, when Jesus would heal, like the young man that was there casting himself into the fire, and the father said, I don't know what to do with this son of mine. He's casting himself into the fire. And the scripture tells us it was Jesus cast out devils. But in reality, this young man probably had epilepsy or some mental illness that was causing him trouble. Jesus healed him. You think Jesus is still able to do that today? I believe so. And I witnessed it. And I thank the Lord for that. The Lord is able to heal even the hardest of cases. Just real briefly before I close, I was wanting to read the list of things that they said here that Jesus, that was healed. He healed boils and epilepsy, fever, insanity, leprosy, loss of appetite, palsy, and many other diseases, consumption, dropsy, emerids, issue of blood, the itch, sunstroke, ulcers. All these things Jesus healed, and there's scripture references for that. He's still the same today. He still heals. He heals body, soul, mind, and spirit. And I thank the Lord for that this afternoon. Not only does he heal, but he is also a keeper. And I know I'm speaking to the choir. I know you all know this. It's just to bring this back to remembrance because the Lord's healed many of you. And I know you can tell a testimony after testimony of what the Lord's done for you. I'm thankful that he's still the same today. And I'm thankful also that we can still tell people about him. We can testify to the world, and we can let them know that there's hope in Jesus. We can have our trust in him, and it's founded upon the word, and it's founded upon our testimony. By what he's done in the past, he will also continue to do in the future. Thank you for your time.